On episode 375 of the YLP podcast, ladies and gentlemen of the YLP universe, we back. It's Saturday. You know what time it is, and you know exactly what that means. Y'all, I would be a fool if I didn't give y'all the news that y'all have been wanting. And I got plenty of it to share. Now, we're going to start off light this week because there's a lot of heavy news that's been coming down the pike, especially over the last 48 to 72 hours, depending on who you ask. Now, for me to try to explain it in simple English would be a little hard, but I'm going to try my very best. But let me break down what we will be talking about this motherfucking week. So, apparently, if y'all remember the lovely story that was Sunny, aka Tammy Sitch. Of course, we all know she's been doing some dumb stuff, but she and if y'all have been following the case that she has been dealing with for some time, we have found out that she has pled no contest in her DUI manslaughter case and faces up to 25 years in prison. We gonna talk about it. I'm gonna give you my thoughts on the whole ordeal and all that good stuff. WrestleMania 40 coming up next year in Philadelphia. Apparently, Gunta was cooling out there, even though he really wasn't impressed with the NFL that much. But hey, bees what it bees, it is what it is. But apparently, it is reportedly breaking all kinds of records. And we're going to talk about exactly which records they've been breaking as of late. And my God, they are putting up numbers on the board. Okay. Also, Cash Wheeler, we found out literally 24 hours ago, Mans was arrested for aggravated assault with a firearm. Mans was riding around and getting it. I'm just kidding. He was not riding around and getting it, but yes, he was arraigned yesterday. Yesterday, because it is Saturday. I forgot my days. But he was arraigned yesterday, and we're going to have to talk about what happened with Mans with this particular incident. All of that and more, because once again, guys, it is Saturday. Y'all know what time it is. Y'all know what it means. This is episode 375 of the YLP podcast. Let's hit that intro. Let's get it started. And with that being said, let us begin.
What is going on, folks? This is Mr. Fretz from the Fretzomania podcast, and you are listening to the Stephen A. Smith of Wrestle Attic Radio, Zach of the Young Lions Perspective. And unlike Stephen A., I'm here to tell you that we care.
What's going on, guys? Zach from the Wrestling With Issues podcast here, and welcome to episode 375 of the YLP podcast. So glad to have you guys here with me on this lovely Saturday, and I hope you're enjoying your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast, and as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. It is Saturday, August 18th, 2023. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day so far. Hope your week was as good as it could be. And let us have the weekend to regroup and get ourselves ready for the upcoming week ahead. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 374 episodes of the YLP podcast, yes, even my debut episode where my audio sounds like straight up garbage, That is not self-deprecation. That is an actual constructive criticism. You can hit me up with a voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/Young Lions Perspective. Over at podcasters.spotify.com/Wrestle Addict Radio. And over at AmbiguousPodcastSolutions.com. Well, the voice messages are the first two. You can still leave a comment over at AmigosPodcastSolutions.com, home of APS and home of Wrestle Addict Radio. And shout out one time to Mr. Will Tereshuk, the founder of APS. You can also leave me a nice little email over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com if you want to voice your opinion on any of the topics and articles that I have on today's episode. Now I got the particulars out, most of the particulars out of the way. We'll talk about the rest at the end of today's episode. But before we get into all of the particulars we have for today's episode, my heart, my body, my mind, and my soul goes out to the people of Maui. The entire state of Hawaii, but mostly to the people of Maui that have dealt with the wildfires that went down last week. And I've seen the images, I've seen the devastation, I've seen what has happened, I've seen what people have been talking about, I've seen what the people of Maui and Lahaina and Kula have been talking about, and my heart goes out to y'all. And hopefully, you know, you guys can get through all of this. And if there's any, guys, if you want to start any, like, GoFundMes, gives and goes, anything like that, set it up and get that out there. Because what I've been hearing about, you know, what the people of Hawaii are going to be getting is a no-no in my book. But hey, this ain't the type of show, and we're not going to get into that type of John. But of course, on behalf of Wrestle Addict Radio, my heart and my heartfelt emotions, my feelings and everything that comes with it, is going out to the people of Maui right now. That's where my head's been at for the past couple of days, and especially doing this episode of the podcast. Guys, if you're by any means necessary, donate if you can. You know, find things to be able to do. Donate all this stuff, man, because this is rough. I mean, we had the East Palestine thing, and that's been rough too. And now we have Maui going on, and I'm not gonna say what I really want to say. Because again, this is not the type of podcast and this ain't that type of show. That's a whole different story for another day. But at least for the time being, my heart does go out to the people of Maui, and there's a lot of devastation going on, especially since me being on the western side of the country, being the most person westernmost in the country in terms of actually the entire bit of North America, adding in Fretz, who does live in Canada. It is a very, very hard situation to see the images, see the people, and trying my very best to try to think about what they're going through right now. Because, I mean, as a person who lives in Colorado, we had the Colorado wildfires not too long ago, just about a couple hours north of where I live at, which I'm not going to disclose on here because I ain't trying to have y'all find a brother. But I'm just saying, you know, in general, you know, it's really, you know, crazy to have, like, knowing that we had wildfires in Colorado a couple hours away from where I'm living at, and then to see the devastation that's happened in Maui. My heart is just hurting for the people of Maui as much as it had for the people of Colorado up north a couple hours from where I'm living at. So keep them in your hearts, your minds, your souls. Donate if you can. Do every, you know, let's try to do something, you know. And, you know, that it be what it be. But, you know, it is very hard to see images of that. And hoping that, you know what, like I said, I'm not going to get into it. That's not that program. We're not going to do that. But what we are going to get into is, of course, the news of the week. Of course, the show that discusses all the news is fit for me to talk about, and I've got a good amount of news to discuss this week. Apparently, I aptly titled this episode properly because they're really about that life, apparently. And we'll be talking about a little bit of that in today's episode. But we will start over at a not so familiar place where I get my news. But hey, SEScoops.com got some news. And let us take the clock back a little while back, actually. Refresh your memory as much as I humanly can. Not a few years back. I believe it was either earlier this year or last year. I think we discussed this topic, discussed this story. But for those of you who may remember, the Brittany Abrahams lawsuit at WWE alleging racism and discrimination has apparently been voluntarily dismissed. Let's get into this opening segment of episode 375 from Thomas Lawson. A lawsuit against WWE, claiming that an ex-employee was wrongfully terminated when they spoke up against offensive character pitches, has been dismissed. Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics reports that Brittany Abrahams voluntarily dismissed her lawsuit against WWE, and that WWE itself wasn't part of the voluntary dismissal. Abrahams is a former WWE writer who filed a lawsuit in April. In June, WWE filed a motion to delay the lawsuit. The lawsuit was ended without prejudice, meaning Abrahams won't be prevented from revisiting the lawsuit in the future. When Derek Sells, who represented Abrahams, was asked if the case had been settled, he declined to comment. Now, Abrahams had filed litigation against WWE in April of this year, so this is how you know how crazy it is, claiming that she had been wrongfully terminated after taking home a commemorative WrestleMania chair. Abrahams stated that she had been told it was okay to take a chair and had seen other members of WWE staff taking chairs, none of whom faced termination or punishments. Abrahams claimed that the chair-related incident was just a cover for WWE wanting to be rid of her after she spoke up against several offensive creative pitches. Abrahams, one of the few women of color in WWE's creative team, spoke up against some of the language given to Bianca Belair for promos, which the EST admitted made her uncomfortable. When a love triangle between Aaliyah Mansoor and Angel Garza was being discussed, senior WWE staff member Ryan Callahan stated that Mansoor, yes, not Mansoor, Mansoor, because he is still a Maximum Male Model last time I checked, would have been revealed to have been behind the September 11th attack on the World Trade Center. Abrahams also spoke up against Apollo Crews' Nigerian character, as well as a pitched idea for Shane Thorne, playing a Crocodile Dundee-esque character to hunt African-American superstar Reggie or Screeps. You will never hear that from me ever again, on God, I swear. Now, if I remember, if my mind serves me right, and my mind serves me right in this case, I believe I had stated that more than likely this case, more than likely angled as far as we think it, yeah, some people think it is. And to know now that this has been voluntarily dismissed probably means that there is not much to be had here. That's not to say the case can't be revisited, but in the case as it stands right now, sorry y'all, had to get my water in. Make sure you drink your water, hydrate. I think the biggest thing was with this was, you know, When I brought up this article the first time back in April, at least I remember now when it was in April, I believe, like I said, that this probably wasn't going to go as far as Ms. Abrahams thought it was going to. She thought she was going to get something out of it. And honestly, I also thought that this was going to go nowhere. I mean, I understand, you know, yes, that most of the creative pitches that were made has some inclinations of racism in it. But here's the thing that I believe, if I remember correctly, I said back in April. WWE's been doing that for a hot second. They've been doing that for quite some time. And it shouldn't surprise anyone who has followed wrestling for a good amount of time that, yes, especially back in the 80s and 90s, they were going to use a tiny slight bit of racism in terms of their characters. Iron Sheik, ring a bell, you know what I'm saying? Muhammad Hassan, even though he's Italian. It's a weird flex, but some of it worked, some of it didn't. But I get where, you know, a lot of it happened. Now, claiming that she had been wrongfully terminated after taking home a commemorative WrestleMania chair. Now, here's the thing. I believe this is stated I talked about it in April. It probably wasn't the reason why she got fired. Were some of the pitches fucked up? Yes. Duh. We know this. If you were watching wrestling for a good amount of time, you know that some of the pitches are going to be stupid. But I think, personally, there may have been, like I said back in April, there have been other reasons, more than likely, as to why she probably got fired. And it probably wasn't because of the chair. And it wasn't probably because she was just a woman of color. Okay? Not because she was a black woman. That's more than likely, it might have been something completely different that WWE noticed, that they were just like, you know what? We're good. And they just had, and this and the WrestleMania chair was pretty much, like it said in the article, part of the reason it was just their last straw, if anything. So at least we know for now, this case is going to be going nowhere. It could be revisited at some point, but the way I see it right now, if there's not enough there to sufficiently get something on WWE, even though with all the nonsense that they've been dealing with as of late, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, if there's not much there, there's not going to be going on. But yes, I'm just going to put it out there. Yes, most of the pitches that we had talked about were fucked up. So we will move on away from that. I just wanted to have that in there real quick. Just as a little, you know, little something to get started. But let us get into the last little bit of news for this opening segment of episode 375 of the YLP podcast. WrestleMania 40, according to WrestlingInc.com, is breaking records already. Reportedly, of course. Now, as y'all know, WWE is going to usually fudge up their numbers to make it sound crazier than it is. But as Jay-Z taught me, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Let's see what LJ has to say about this. WWE continues to shatter its own records. Earlier today, or should I say yesterday, because it is Saturday, WWE began the general ticket sales for next year's WrestleMania 40. Yes, tickets are on sale. And if you guys check out the latest episode of Kings of the Rings podcast every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, over on YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, they'll give you some hacks to get some WrestleMania tickets. Just so you know. If you follow WrestleLatic Radio on Instagram, you might have gotten a little bit of a preview, but I will say, go check it out. Go check out that episode and tell Mr. YLP sent you, even though Mr. YLP is dead. But yeah, definitely check that out. Anyway, let's get back into the article though. Earlier on Friday, WWE, of course, began the general ticket sales for us next year's WrestleMania 40, slated to take place at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia in April 2024. This sale, in addition to the 2 days of pre-sales, has already produced record-breaking financial results for the company. According to the Action Network's Darren Revelle, WrestleMania 40 has already broken one of WWE's box office records, with over 90,000 tickets so far. WrestleMania 40 now holds the all-time WWE gate record, which was previously held by the WrestleMania 39 event that emanated from SoFi Stadium earlier this year. While the exact revenue has yet to be shared, it has surpassed the $21.5 million generated from this year's premium live event. WrestleMania 40 will mark the latest trip to the northeastern United States for the annual event since MetLife Stadium presented WrestleMania 35 in my home state, not my home city, but my home state in East Rutherford, New Jersey. For Philadelphia specifically, next year will be the first time the city has hosted a WrestleMania since 1999. WrestleMania 15, when Stone Cold Steve Austin defeated The Rock for the WWE Championship in the main event. This is huge. This is absolutely huge. And as far as I know, all three members of the KLTR crew are going to be at WrestleMania in Philly because they live in Long Island. I don't. I live in the West. It'd be like that sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Maybe if WWE decides to do one in Vegas, I might come through. Honestly, I'm not even going to front. It's like literally a 2.5 hour flight for me. 2.5 hour flight, easy, light work. I can do that. I can easily do that. So, you know, Las Vegas, WWE, hook that up. Let your boy know. This is huge. This is absolutely big numbers across the board, and I love to see it. I love the fact that WWE, in the Triple H era, because this is we're going off creatively, Triple H era, I am very pleased with the numbers that WrestleMania 40 is already putting up. 90,000 tickets so far. $21.5 million is going to be surpassed. Now, usually, when it comes to WrestleMania, the city that is going to be hosting the event, of course, usually we'll make huge bank off this. And given the fact that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Phillies usually are going to be in their home series. But Phillies fans, just so y'all know, y'all going to have to wait for the Phillies to come back. Because they'll be fine. The Citizens Bank Park will still be open if they're, because the season will be starting, depending on when they have the actual date. But yeah, April, around there, is going to be a huge weekend for Philly fans. It's just big. It's just absolutely amazing to see the hype for this. And to go to Lincoln Financial Field, to see the people there, will be wild. I'm probably not going to be going, personally. I'll be watching from the crib, because me personally, that's not to say that I wouldn't want to go to WrestleMania, because I does. It's on the bucket list. But I would want to a little bit closer to me, depending on, because I live in Colorado. A flight to Philly would be about three and a half hours, but it would cost a lot more for me. So it's not as cost effective for me as it would be for King Ricky Rose, Will Tereshuk, and the legend that is K motherfucking Murphy. So I'm not even sure Fretz might be going. I'm not sure. Brother Fretz, let me know if you're listening to this anywhere. If you're listening to this, my brother, let me know if you are going. But I think as for me, I may have to sit this WrestleMania out. I will be waiting for one closer to me. Dallas would be good. Houston will be quite nice. Vegas will be absolutely fucking fantastic. Phoenix, California, not really. Seattle, definitely. That will just be a pilgrimage for you, boy. As I am a devout Seahawks fan. Hashtag go Hawks. But I'm loving the fact that, you know, Philly's about to get a big time amount of buku money off this. They are really going to have so much money. And usually, WrestleMania is bringing a lot of money for the city because there's going to be, 90,000 tickets out the gate. I don't even know how many people are going to fit in that damn thing. But if you're talking 90 off rip, they're definitely looking to get about a 100,000, 110,000. And I don't want the number to be fudged. Make it real. Because, I'm loving this. I absolutely love it. I love the fact that they're going to surpass last year's WrestleMania. I love every bit of that. Because that's how you got to do it. You got to be breaking records. You got to be doing things that just... I think what it really is for me is the fact that under the Triple H era, I think the hype for 39 was mainly because it was Triple H's first WrestleMania. Booking wise, even though some people will still say that, Vincent Kennedy McMahon got involved in some boo-boo shit. Excuse me, but that's neither here nor there. You know what I'm saying? This is what you need to be doing. Breaking records. Break records every time you do this. Break all the records. What? Triple H said records are going to be broken. I know he was talking about championship reigns being broken. But these numbers were meant to be broken too. 90,000, over 90,000 off rip? That is a beautiful thing. Fantastic. I couldn't be happier, especially for someone who lives in the Mid-Atlantic area, who was from the Northeast. I always want to see my region win. I always want to see my region whoop some ass. And to see Philadelphia being wonderfully gifted this event. And now I know, honestly, because I believe I talked about it a few weeks back. Minneapolis might be next in line for 41. But actually, I actually do know some people out there in Minneapolis. So that might be a pilgrimage. That actually wouldn't be a bad flight either, honestly. That's about 2-3 hour flight for me too. But seriously, across the board, This is what needs to happen. We need to be breaking records year after year after year. And as long as 40 lives up to the bill, Philly, you're about to have the weekend of your life. Again, if you're going to WrestleMania 40 next year and you see the KOTR squadron out there, make sure you show some love. Show love. Show love. Show love to WrestleLatic Radio. We family. We out here. Know what I'm saying? Like I said, I more than likely will not be going to WrestleMania 40 next year. 41, if we're doing it in Minneapolis, is a possibility, but I would really love to go to one in Vegas. That's just my thing. I've been wanting to see a Vegas one ever since they got Allegiant Stadium built, and I'm sure Mr. King Ricky Rose would be very pleased if he was able to go into the pilgrimage, take his pilgrimage and go to Allegiant Stadium to visit, because he is a hardcore Raiders fan, and I'm sure he would want to have a pilgrimage out to Las Vegas. But nonetheless, Philly is about to have an experience of a lifetime. I'm sure, you know, not takeover, but NXT will probably, hopefully will have a show, will have their stand and deliver show in Philly. That would just make, in the Wells Fargo Center, that would just make all the sense in the world. Friday, stand and deliver, WrestleMania, all WrestleMania weekend, the Monday after, yeah. Yeah. Actually, no, they probably wouldn't do it. They probably wouldn't do NXT stand and deliver on Friday because they have SmackDown's Friday, SmackDown Go Home Show on Friday. I would say do it on Thursday. Or do it the week before. Whatever floats your boat. Either way, though, the 4 days that WWE is going to have and the WWE fans are going to have with this in Philly, here's the thing. Now, luckily for WWE, if it were a strictly Philly crowd, one of two things would have happened. One, if the WrestleMania sucked, they would have gotten hell for it. Because Philly fans don't play with that shit. If you're a Giants fan, Cowboys fan, you know. If you're a Commanders fan, you know. If you're any fan of the NL East, because I'm a Phillies fan, you know. You'll catch WWE will catch hell. But given the fact that it is a pro, it's going to be a more diverse crowd from around the world. I think more than likely Philly's going to have some fantastic fanfare. And that's going to be a fantastic thing. But the best thing is about that, WWE is going to have 4 days straight of kicking ass. And I know, if I know Triple H like I know Triple H, if WrestleMania 39 was any indicator of what we're going to get moving forward in terms of WrestleManias, we're in for a hell of a weekend come next April. That's going to conclude the opening segment of WrestleMania, Jesus, episode 375 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, we're going to actually talk about Giselle Shaw. And for those of you who may not know, recently Giselle Shaw actually came out as trans. And we're going to be discussing Giselle Shaw using her Impact platform to help the LGBTQ+ community. And I think that's going to be a very good conversation. Well, one-sided, but we're going to talk about, you know, the most important work in her life. What she does away from the squared circle. And we're going to be talking about all of that on the other side of episode 375 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned, y'all. We'll be right back.
How's it going, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, General Manager here at WrestleTotic Radio and host of Kings of the Rings podcast, a show where we look at the biggest topics in the pro wrestling world, from WWE, AEW, and everywhere in between, with my co-host Willie T, as well as Kayfabe, formerly known as The K Murphy, and from time to time, we'll have a special guest from the wrestling podcast world. So make sure to check us out each and every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for our live streaming show on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, with the premiere of the actual episode on all podcast streaming platforms the next day on Thursday. So Kings of the Rings podcast exclusively here on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. And be sure to follow us everywhere on social media at KOTR_podcast.
What's going on, you guys? This is Nate the Epping Great from the Brace for Impact podcast, and you are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with episode 375 of the YLP podcast. Of course, talking about the news of the week. But before we get back into the swing of things, y'all already know, it's about that time. That good old time. Shameless plug time. Make sure, of course, if you're not listening to me every single Saturday, and that's perfectly fine, you're not hurting my feelings by doing that. You got things to do, you have a life as well. But make sure you check out the remainder of the family that is Wrestle Addict Radio every single Tuesday. Unless spoken otherwise, by our current, still, even though he took an L at an NRW show recently, he is still our current, ours, in terms of the Wrestle Addict Radio family, and your current reigning and defending MCW heavyweight champion of the world. I know he hasn't thought of it yet, but he is the banana god in my eyes. Nate the effing great coming through with the Brace for Impact podcast, talking about the old school days, the beginnings of NWA, TNA, and Impact. If that is your bag, if that was your thing, and then for me personally, it was a hell of a time for me and got me into Impact Wrestling and gave me an alternative to WWE. So for that, I thank them. But yeah, if you're into that sort of thing, Nate is your Sherpa, if you will, to bring you through yesteryear of Impact Wrestling, and it is just a joy to listen to. That's how you get Tuesday started. Listening to that. Get a Tuesday started with that. Promise you it's a great thing. Wednesdays, though. Every single Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. in my region because I live in Mountain Time. Also, know your time zones and know your math so check out the episode. Understanding. Kings of the Rings podcast, of course, hosted by the wonderful, esteemed general manager of Wrestle Addict Radio, King Ricky Rose, the founder. I believe the founder. Yes. If I'm not mistaken, of not only Ambiguous Podcast Solutions, but the Kings of the Rings podcast, Will Terror Shook, and of course, the legend, and may I say, happy birthday to the one, the only, the legend that is K. Motherfucking Murphy. I see the Instagram post. I seen it. Like you was having a good time with your partner and whatnot. I saw you. Happy birthday, K. Murphy. It's your time. Enjoy yourself. Yes. Of course, professional wrestling, pop culture, all those things. It's a hell of a show. I check it. I get in there every once in a while and get in the chat, you know, say hello, talk smack a little bit, even though I know the Summer Scam line may have been a little out of place. That's my bad. I was just talking mess. Don't mind me. But yes, Wednesday nights is the, if that is your bag, Wednesday nights, 100%. Check it out. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. On YouTube, it's Kings of the Rings Podcast. If you're over on Twitter or Twitch, it is KOTR_podcast. And you can check that out on there. Thursdays, if you don't catch the live version, it'll be there for the remainder of all time. So you can check the video out whenever. But if you're more of a, you know, the visual actually will be on Wednesdays. But the audio version, if you're into that sort of thing, if you're an audiophile and you just love hearing the smooth sounds of King Ricky Rose's voice. Yes, I just made that weird, and we're going to keep it moving anyway. You can check out the audio version dropping every single Thursday. Fridays, kick off your weekend, not in proper YLP fashion, but still you can get it popping with the man with the Traeger himself. I see your Instagram, Fretz. I see your stories. I need brisket. Don't play with me. I'm joking, of course, but the brisket be looking good if you follow at Fretzelmania on Instagram. If you want to check out the wonderful Traeger stories, Mans is cooking up some delicious meat. Pause. But yeah, if you're a Ruthless Aggression era fan, which to me is the second best era of all WWE history, right behind, of course, the Attitude Era, this is the show for you. This man has been giving you through the history of that. His episode, new episode, just dropped, the Banana Chamber, and the cover of it is just mint. Brock Lesnar F5ing a shark, SummerSlam 2001, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm wrong, Fretz, let me know. But yes, if you love the Ruthless Aggression era as much as I do, even though I love the Attitude Era still more, this is your show, that's your bag, right there, every single Friday. And then you got me on Saturdays, giving you the news of the week, all the news is fit for me to talk about on the YLP podcast. And me too, Dad. I'm here, but I'm still looking at the door because I'm hearing noises and I don't like it. I understand, Bubba. It's okay. You relax. Of course, Mr. Wild P. Jr. making a lovely appearance on this week's show, hanging out with me. We're having a little bro night as of this recording. Miss Wild P. is out for the evening. So, you know, we're doing our thing. We're just doing our thing, cooking up a new episode of the Wild P. podcast. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is WrestleLetics Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. A little bit more long-winded than usual, but sometimes you gotta, you know, show the love when it's necessary. And of course, our current reigning MCW heavyweight champ of the world. I mean, we got a title in the family. It's a beautiful thing. Let's enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? But let us get right back into the news. And I only got one bit of news for this segment, but I think it should be something that's discussed. And I believe I've said this plenty of times about this. The reason pro wrestling, like I said, before getting to the article, of course, and I don't want to hold y'all long on it. The reason I love professional wrestling is because it is a facet of everyone. You know, everybody. Doesn't matter your color, creed, religion, you know, whom you identify as, you know, it doesn't matter. Pro wrestling is pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is that, like, one friend that you know you can call at 3:30 in the morning when you're feeling, you know, some type of shit, and they're coming through with the soup and the Gatorade and the saltines. Well, that's just me personally. You know, making sure you're good, got that, you know, care package for you, you know what I'm saying? All that good stuff. That's what pro wrestling is to most of us. And I've stated this plenty of times on this podcast. I do not care if you are male, female, lesbian, gay, non-binary, bisexual, queer, transgender, I do not care. If you can get in that ring and do work the way I know you, the way I think you can, do you. Doesn't matter to me. If you're showing up and showing out in that ring, think of it like this. Think of the Monday morning quarterback, right? Think of the armchair quarterback. You know how we watch football, especially like myself, a fantasy football player, and have been for over a decade now, which is hell of a career. This is a longer, double my career. I've been a fantasy football player longer than I've been a podcaster. Odd. Anywho, it doesn't matter who you are. If you can go in that ring and entertain a crowd, you have my ultimate respect. Why? Because you're taking bumps that personally, I'm not trying to take. That's not my bag. I had dreams when I was a youngin', but then I realized the amount of that entails into it. You know, I'll watch and respect the sport and respect those who go in that ring. Doesn't matter if you're straight, gay, black, white, don't matter. Pro wrestling is pro wrestling. And we respect those who put their bodies on the line every single night, every single weekend to entertain us. I mean, yeah, it's a good to get a paycheck, but it's also for the love of the sport. And for those who say professional wrestling ain't a sport, you do 300 days a year. I'm saying this as a person who kind of gets the schedule. You do 300 days a year. You drive out on them roads and you go in that wrestling ring and take bumps and whatnot to entertain 10 to 15 people depending on where you're starting at. Then we can talk about it not being a sport. But Giselle Shaw, a member of the LGBTQ+ community, or the LGBTQIA+ community. We don't want to single out anyone. You know what I'm saying? Discussing using her Impact platform to help the LGBTQ+ community. From Eric Mutter. While Giselle Shaw is best known for her work at Impact Wrestling, the most important work in her life is what she does away from the squared circle, in support of the LGBTQ+ community. Stopping by Busted Open Radio on Wednesday, Shaw, who is transgender, talked about the work she's been doing serving as co-ambassador for the Windsor Essex Pride Fest 2 years in a row. It's been a huge honor for Shaw to have been chosen, and also one she was uneasy about, as she had only come out herself at Pride Toronto back in June 2022. I do remember that story, and I was very happy that she came out as transgender. Not because of any, you know, not like negative or anything, but hey, if you know who you are as a person, and you are comfortable with telling it to the world, do you. You know what I'm saying? She revealed she was at first determined to not talk about gender with people, determined to make it on the merits of her performance until she saw how her position and impact could help her make a difference. Saying, quote, "For me to inspire people, I need to accept myself first and foremost. So I think that was so important for me to tell my story. I never really wanted to me. The whole ambassador thing, it was like, hey, I just wanted to show my support and stuff and whatever. And they go, oh my gosh, you would be a perfect person for this. And I go, okay, cool. Because with the platform, like I said, it has such huge reach. She goes on to say, inspiring people, educating people. I have that voice that people normally wouldn't have had. So to do it 2 years in a row, it's just amazing. And to do it in my hometown, you know, I'm really new here as well in Windsor, Ontario. Fretz, where you at? I know you're probably close. It's just been 2 years since I've been living here. It's just incredible. It's so incredible. And I do love helping people. Giselle, the person, is all about giving back and what can I do to help people. And of course, I gotta say this at the end of the article. If I use any of the quotes in the article, I'm crediting Busted Open Radio, H/T. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not trying to get sued. But I'm saying, this is one of the biggest reasons I love professional wrestling. Now, of course, we know the whole Make-A-Wish WWE thing, you know, all that good stuff. And John Cena's got like 650 of them things, so holy shit. I love the fact that in 2023, professional wrestling can somehow be used as a platform to bring up other communities. And what really made me happy as I was reading this article, I think back to AEW when they started out and how much they were in support of the LGBTQIA+ community. And being able to have talent like Nyla Rose, who is also transgender, and putting in work in the ring. Former AEW Women's World Champion, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but my Women's Championship history kind of misses me a little bit. The early days, of course. Rio, all that. I'm trying to think. Was it Nyla? Had to have been Nyla. It just made sense at that time. I'll Wikipedia later, and I'll tell y'all if I do remember. And I'm a big fan of Giselle Shaw. One, for real, on some real shit, homegirl can go. Let's be real. If you've seen any of her matches in Impact, and of course she's been on the UK scene as well, doing work over, you know, across the pond in Europe, all that. I believe she's done work in Japan too. Hold on. Laptop's right here. I mean, of course, that's where I actually read the articles. Dur. Let's see. Japan. Can't even spell Japan. Very nice. Nippon. Trying to think if she's on any work in Japan. I don't think so. I could be wrong. Could be wrong. But either way, I'm a huge fan of hers. Have been for a little while now, and for her to now use her platform, you know, with what she can do with it, and being able to kind of voice opinions and be able to kind of put her platform out to the world, that's a beautiful thing. That is a fantastic thing. And I know in a world where, you know, some people are not accepting of the LGBTQIA+ community, you know, I think this could be just another form of being able to present that to the people. And even thinking of times, you know, when, you know, the LGBTQIA+ community was out there, Finn Balor's WrestleMania entrance. Oh my God, I remember that now. That was the entrance. And it was huge. And they had, you know, I think, was it New Orleans? I'm trying to think if it was New Orleans. I'm thinking 35. I know, I couldn't have done that. Either way, I'm thinking it was in New Orleans. Because it just made sense at that point. Although I was hoping for a much grander, you know, bougie entrance, the one I expect from Finn Balor, this one fit the bill just as much, you feel me? And it's just seeing that and being able to use professional wrestling as a platform to be able to help, you know, the LGBTQIA+ community. And being able to use the platform, because we use it as well. I mean, we are a diverse group in Wrestle Addict Radio, and K is non-binary. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, to have that and to be able to, have them use their platform, because I don't want to use the wrong pronouns, just saying. you know, have them use their platform to be able to put that out there. And, you know, it's a fantastic thing. And one, and always, of course, shout out to Kay. Kay, my people. Out of the people on Kings of the Rings podcast, I like Kay the most. Deal with it. They got a Legends contract. I can't be mad at that. You know what I'm saying? It's respect. And just being able to use, like, it's one thing, you know, to use it in sports and to, you know, use, you know, with everything that's going on within the United States and use that platform to push, you know, bring up certain topics that maybe most people wouldn't be discussing on an everyday basis. This is just another way to do it. And that's why I love pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is accepting of everybody. Don't matter who you are, don't matter where you come from, don't matter who you identify as and who you bees. If you love pro wrestling, we love you. We may not agree on, you know, who's the best wrestler of all time or what's the greatest match of all time, what's the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. I have three in my head and it's a usual rotation of what's the best and I can't really figure it out. So don't come to me for you what I think it is, because I'm still trying to figure it out myself. But using platforms, like even in the music industry, I remember, you know, artists were, you know, bringing up certain issues and what was going on in the hood and all that stuff, being storytellers and actually, you know, bringing up topics that most people in the mainstream may not have caught when, you know, rap was getting into that bag. Being able to use a platform like professional wrestling and being, you know, football, baseball, fashion, you know, even, you know, tech and all this stuff, being able to have, you know, more diverse, you know, more diversity within the entire industry and being able to, you know, showcase people, you know, like Giselle Shaw to the forefront, part of the LGBTQIA plus community, being able to wrestle. And, you know, I mean, yeah, granted, I know she's going to get hate online for being transgender. That's in, you know, social media is crazy as it is anyway, and it's going to get only crazier because reasons. I appreciate the fact that a talent like Giselle Shaw is able to not only bust her ass in that ring, but be able to do so and knowing that the LGBTQIA plus community is on her back. Not in a bad way, but in support. They got her back. I do too. I respect the hell out of her for, you know, being co-ambassador of Pride Fest 2 years in a row. I mean, as a person whose first legitimate time of going to Pride was actually this year, and I'm sure some of y'all, you know, probably be like, what took you so long? My answer is, I don't know. Wish I had gone sooner. I enjoyed it. I loved it. Denver Pride was crazy. Denver Pride was a movie. I didn't get many pictures because personally, I wanted to take it all in. I wanted to take in the sights. I wanted to take in the sounds. I wanted to take in the performances. Those were crazy. And the fans were like the Vuvuzela the World Cup many moons ago, but a better sounding thing, because it sounded like people were clapping. It was a cool sight to see, and being able to be out there. But it was hot as hell. Just putting that out there. Summers in Denver be like that sometimes, but. But it was a hell of a time. And then I went, as well, P and I, we went to Aurora Pride. And that, because, I mean, I'd say it was better because we had a beach. Yes, there is a beach in Colorado, and it's where I'm at. I think it was out of my area. But it'd be what it'd be. We ball. But to be able to be out there and to see it and to see the people just enjoying themselves and having a good time and just, you know, no hate and just love and all that good stuff. You know, it was fantastic. And I will say, though, the geese was out there like a... geese there was out there like some gang and shit. I'm not going to lie. We were, you know, chilling, you know, enjoying the sights and sounds. And we see this whole gang of like 8 geese. We're eating sandwiches. We're, you know, we're enjoying, you know, getting our munch on or whatever. And yeah, like they just came out off the water, slid up on the grass and just looking for cats and just like looking around, acting like they own the spot because, you know, they live there. And just like, they were just trying to tell, like, they, in no uncertain way, basically telling people to run pockets and give us the food. It was trying to be like Yogi Bear trying to get the picnic basket. But getting back into, and I'm just going to end the segment on this because, you know, I'm trying to keep it tight on time and whatnot. Giselle, we got you. Pro wrestling's got you. The LGBTQIA plus community's got you. Be who you are. And for anyone, you know, in the LGBTQIA plus community, salute from me, yours truly. Because here's the thing with me. And I don't think I've ever talked about this on the podcast before, but my niece, who is about to turn 17, I've known this little Miss Heathen since I was 2. My sister and her dude, they've been dating actually for a very long time, Lord, 18 years. You know what I'm saying? And I met who I call my niece. She is not niece by blood, but I've known her long enough to call her my niece, and I treat her as such. She get hella money on Christmas. But, you know, I've seen her grow from this little toddler, 2 years old, literally cursing me out in Babel because I asked where my sister was. And then we broke bread with saltines, and then we became tight. And ever since then, I've just loved this little thing. And she's grown up to be a wonderful girl, very smart. I wish nothing but the best for her. I say that to say this. Last year, my niece came out as queer. And it took me aback a little bit because, like, I know I got, like, I have a cousin who was a lesbian. I have a cousin who's gay. It's not to say I wasn't expecting it, but it was kind of like a happy shock. You feel me? Because it's just like, you know, and to think of it like this, like, she knows herself more than I do. And I'm gonna be honest about that. I'm gonna be brutally honest with y'all about that. She knows who she is. I was there to Sweet 16 last year, and it was just a fantastic moment, you know, to see her there, you know, being there in her Wednesday gear, you know, all black dress, just fantastic times. It was a good time. And to be around her, to see her around her friends who are also, you know, who have also come out and just enjoying each other's company and all that stuff and them having a good time. It was a fantastic night. I actually surprised them. They didn't know I was coming. My mom was the only person in the entire state of New Jersey that knew I was actually coming in. And so when I showed up, I surprised the heck out of her. My sister, I hadn't seen in quite some time. So it was good to, you know, catch up with her, kick it with her, do what twins do and cause havoc as per usual. And making sure I have like 37, you know, gift boxes because, you know, everybody was leaving this for no reason. But, you know, I'm not saying my niece will, you know, one day watch professional wrestling like her uncle does. And that's perfectly fine. She likes BTS and so do I. And that's cool to me. You know, I'm proud of her. I'm proud of her for being the person that she is, for who, you know, she is. And I'm just happy that, you know, she's actually, you know, come out and actually done that. I remember it like it was yesterday, and it took me a minute to accept it because, you know, like I said, it was a happy shock, but I was just like, oh, you know what I mean? But I'm proud of her. I am proud of who she is. I'm proud of my sister for raising a fantastic heathen of a child. Because my twin sister is just, you know, she's corrupted her. And I'm happy for that because it's a beautiful thing and I feel bad for her, dude. Because it's always 2-on-1. Now it's actually 3-on-2 because of my other niece, Rachel, and my nephew, Debon the third. But I'm quite happy with my niece. And I'm happy. And if one day, Gianna, you decide you want to watch pro wrestling, you come talk to your uncle. Uncle Zach's got you. But I'm proud of the LGBTQIA plus community. And I'm proud of it being in professional wrestling. And I'm proud of that we've accepted the community as a whole. And the community will hopefully continue to accept us as a whole when it comes to professional wrestling. Because regardless of, like I said, regardless of who you are, color, race, who you identify as, doesn't matter. We all love professional wrestling. And I think I can safely say that we all love us some Giselle Shaw. But that's going to conclude the mid-card for what? Yes, there are working on the roof outside. It is okay. We are fine. You're okay. Milo's just staring at me like, I am not enjoying this anything. I'm not enjoying this, Dad. Just noises. Not a fan. You're fine. We're fine. Bro day. You know what I'm saying? My, excuse me. But like I said, that's going to conclude episode, not the episode. We got some stuff to talk about. That's going to conclude the mid-card segment of the episode 375 of the YLP podcast. And when we come back in our main eventual segment, the reason I titled this episode "They're Really About That Life" is because Tammy Sitch and Cash Wheeler are apparently about that life. And we're going to be talking about all the particulars of their respective cases in the main eventual segment of episode 375 of the YLP podcast. Stick around. Be right back. Ladies and gentlemen of the YLP realm, it's time for your main eventual segment of episode 375 of the YLP podcast, and we conclude this week's news, the sole reason why I named this episode, they're really about that life. I am quite surprised that this news, well, more so for Cash Wheeler than Tammy Sitch. I was quite surprised when I heard this news. This actually went down yesterday, like Friday morning yesterday, like when I was at work yesterday, when probably I was waking up yesterday, because I live in a mountain time zone, so it's 2 hours from the east. And let us get into this bit of news to begin our main eventual segment. Cash Wheeler. That's all. This is from cultaholic.com, by the way, with the other article I have here from WrestleZone.com, from Aiden Gibbons. Cash Wheeler was arrested on Friday morning by the Orlando Police Department, according to Jay Reddick of the Orlando Sentinel. Wheeler has been charged with one count of aggravated assault with a firearm and booked into circuit court, according to Orange County Corrections Department records. According to county records, a warrant for Wheeler's arrest was filed on July 28th, and he pleaded not guilty through a lawyer on August 3rd. Wheeler was arraigned today, and the prosecution noted he was involved in what is, quote, believed to be a road rage incident, during which he allegedly flashed a gun at the other party. It was stated by Wheeler's attorney that he does not know the alleged victims. Along with his bond being set at $2,500, $250 for those of y'all who forgot what 10% of $2,500 was, Wheeler was ordered to turn in any weapons he owns to the Orange County Sheriff's Office within 12 hours of his release. He must also not have any contact with the alleged victims or any witnesses to the incident. It was stated that Wheeler has no prior criminal history. All Elite Wrestling issued the following statement to the Orlando Sentinel, saying, quote, AEW has been made aware of the charge and we are closely monitoring the situation. Wheeler is fully cooperating with local authorities, end quote. Excuse me. A conviction for aggravated assault in the state of Florida is a third-degree felony and carries a penalty of up to 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $5,000. Of course, Wheeler is one half of the reigning AEW World Tag Team Champions as part of FTR with Dax Harwood, and they are booked in one of the headline matches of All In with FTR versus the Young Bucks 3 for the AEW World Tag Team titles. The status of that match, especially with it taking place at Wembley Stadium in London, England, is up in the air as it is set for next Sunday. Now, we found out to WrestleZone.com. Now, we do know that... Actually, no, $25,000. My bad. Apparently, Cultaholic, maybe you're wrong on that one. They might have missed a zero. $2,500 nonetheless. Oh, it's 20. Okay, so that's $2,500 for the ball. Okay. Now, according to WrestleZone... Come on. No? You want to hang out here? You're going to speak into the mic? He just sniffed the mic. He booped the mic. No... Just tired. Just hanging out with Dad. Doing episode 375 of the one. I know. Huff. I know. Now, getting into the more recent news. We do know now that the court did not impose any restrictions on him traveling internationally. They believe he was not asked to surrender his passport at the hearing. So I believe. That means they believe he's not that much of a flight risk. So he will be in London. He will be in a tag team title match against the Young Bucks. We know that AEW is aware of it. I'm just shocked. I'm shocked and surprised to hear about this because, like, it's kind of like Alvin Kamara. I know there are fans of Alvin's, of course, Saints fans and all that stuff. And I'm sure when they heard about the incident where Mans just beat a man damn near to death and got suspended for 3 games, which quite surprised me. I was thinking at least 6 or 8, but that's just me. Harsh crimes are determined, harsh punishment. But it's a surprise because of the fact that, you know, it's something you usually don't expect from, professional wrestlers. They're always on the road. But we know that there are times where it's going to be some nonsense popping off in the DMs, you know what I'm saying? I'm just very surprised by this. And as I say with every single case that comes down the pike and we talk about it, if it is proven that Mans was, you know, showcasing the blicky, you know, while he was on the road, yeah, that's going to cause some crime. Now, do I think he's going to get prison time? Probably not, as these are... I'm not trying to say he's a first-time nonviolent offender, but there may have been violence involved. Who knows? But, of course, aggravated assault is not a very serious crime. It should be taken seriously, especially in the state of Florida, especially in the state of Colorado, and from where I'm from in New Jersey, we take that very seriously. It's just one of those things where, it's like I said, it's someone you don't expect. You know what I mean? You know, but there are times where, you know, shit goes left. And if, you know, I expect Wheeler to be punished for this. If the reports and everything are true. Of course, innocent until proven guilty. But if the evidence does show that he did some foul shit, I don't expect him to own any firearms any longer. I expect him to do some possibly, I'm not sure about prison time, as it would be his first time legitimately ever being in trouble with the law. But to be brutally honest, you know, he will pay for his crimes and he's going to have to pay for those crimes. I mean, lucky for him that he doesn't have to surrender his passport. He can compete in London. I don't think the crowd will get on him for it. And I'm sure the entire pro wrestling community does understand that, you know, shit like this does have harsh penalties. As such, it should. I mean, I'm still a big fan of FTR nonetheless, but to see that, you know, and to think, you know, as a fan, and of course, thinking of him as a father, you know, that's something you don't want to have on your head, you know, for your little girl. You know what I'm saying? Just putting that out there, but, you know, as everything goes, like I always say with these cases, when I know information as best as I possibly can, y'all will know as well. But I didn't want to take too much time with that personally, because the big reason why we have this episode and the real reason why I titled this episode, They're Really About That Life, is one Tammy Sunny Sitch. We spoke about this case many moons back. And, I kind of had a good feeling that she was going to face some time. I wasn't sure how much, but I did state, foul shit. Someone died. We now know from Fightful.com to round out this week's, episode of the YLP podcast, Tammy Sitch pleads no contest in DUI manslaughter case. Faces up to 25 years in prison. Jamie Lambert with the article, of course. Tammy Sitch pleads no contest. On August 16th, Tammy Sitch entered a plea of no contest to a felony charge of DUI causing death. She also pleaded no contest to one felony charge of driving with license suspended causing death, 4 misdemeanor counts of DUI with damage to a person, and 2 misdemeanor charges of DUI with damage to property. According to TMZ, Sitch had initially pleaded not guilty to all charges. Why, we don't know. But changed her pleas on Wednesday as the case is slated to go to trial. She faces a maximum sentence of 25 years in jail. A sentencing hearing is yet to be scheduled. We now, of course, we know Stitch has been in jail since May 2022 for her involvement in a fatal car crash in Volusia County, Florida, that killed a 75-year-old man on March 25th, 2022. I mean, for the life of me, I had a good feeling that she was going to be going to jail. I mean, were you expecting anything less? If we're being brutally honest, no. Probably not. But my thing is this. She still has the case in Jersey, if I'm not mistaken. So she's got that too. So I don't know how that's going to go. How they're going to go about that while she's doing her time. Maybe it'll just be they have the case in Jersey. You know, she has to get, you know, it's a virtual thing for her because she's in jail in Florida. And yeah. Now, to refresh our memories, let's go back to the car accident in talking about. On March 25th, 2022, this is Yahoo.com, by the way, Stitch's vehicle failed to stop and crashed into the back of a stopped car at the intersection of USC 1 and Granada Boulevard, leading to the death of Julian LaFrancis Lassiter, 75. According to police, a blood test taken at the time of the crash showed Stitch had a blood alcohol content of 0.280, which is 3.5 times the legal limit of 0.08 set by Florida law. A Florida Department of Law Enforcement analyst later testified that in addition to alcohol, such as blood tests detected THC, which indicates she had been smoking or consuming marijuana sometime before the crash. In addition, an Ormond Beach police officer testified that police found an unsealed bottle of Grey Goose vodka in the front passenger floorboard of the vehicle at the time of the crash. Stitch was arrested May 6th, 2022 at the Hard Rock Hotel in Daytona Beach shortly before 10 p.m. with the help of Daytona Beach Police. Prosecutors sought to revoke the Hall of Famer's bond, saying that she poses a threat of harm to the community based on past driving offenses, according to court documents. Courts show that Stitch was released from jail on May 7th, a day after the arrest, after she posted $227,500 in bail. Circuit Judge Karen Foxman agreed with the prosecution's request of revoking the bond and ordered Stitch arrest again. Her defense attorney at the time, Stephen De La Roche, asked that Stitch be allowed to remain free, but required to wear an ankle monitor with an alcohol sensor. Foxman said a monitor would be too easy to evade. Now, some of her prior offenses include an arrest in 2015 with DUI, driving while license is suspended or revoked, and careless driving. June 2015, Carbon County charges driving under the influence, driving while operating privilege is suspended or revoked, and reckless driving. And then literally 3 weeks later, actually a little bit more than 3 weeks later, under the DWI, and careless driving. It's safe to honestly, I mean, she got a new lawyer, you know, she no longer had an attorney, De La Roche snapped into her, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's wild. And then, of course, Wednesday, she pleads no contest. No. She has a DUI charge. Four of those. Two counts of DUI with damaged property. Each of the six counts, including her felony shit, is a first-degree misdemeanor punishable by up to 364 days in the county jail, but as part of the agreement, Stitch would be sentenced to time served on those six counts, and the sentences would run concurrently. At least 4 years in the Bing. I say this wholeheartedly, I honestly do. You know, shit like this happens every day. You probably know someone who's gotten caught up in a DUI, DWI. I know people. I'm not going to name names, and I'm not going to put their stories out there like that out of respect for them. You know what I'm saying? But it's a big freaking deal to have a DUI on your record, man. License suspended or breathalyzer before you have to drive. It's quite embarrassing. I mean, I don't know this personally, but I feel for the people that I know and those who have dealt with it. You know, I'm not saying, you know, give you a fifth of the thing and then, you know, go buck wild behind the wheel and whatnot. I don't encourage that, nor will I ever. I mean, that's why I said in the podcast, most of the time, you know, if you're going to be going out this weekend, make sure you take that Uber or Lyft home. Don't have to worry about getting that DUI. You know what I'm saying? I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It would be better that you got home safely than you got home, possibly not at all, behind the wheel and you getting your drink on. Even if you had a couple. You know what I'm saying? Better to, you know, take that Uber or Lyft and make sure you get home safe. And then you get to raid your refrigerator knowing that you made it safe and you made the smart, responsible decision as an adult. But cases like this, you know, especially for talent, you know, that we respect. I mean, Sitch is a Hall of Famer. Feel me? A WWE Hall of Famer. Let's not forget that. She is a Hall of Famer nonetheless. But, I kind of figured she was going to go behind bars. Eve, I believe when we talked about it last year, in that time, I was just like, we know. It's bullshit. We even talked about a case in New Jersey and domestic violence and all that shit. I don't know how that's going to play out for the Jersey case. But at least in Florida, I know she's going to be behind bars, and it's going to suck for a lot of people to say, for me to say this to, but you know, for y'all listening to this, good. You can't just be riding around and getting it turned up. You know what I'm saying? Like, even in Colorado, where I live at, yes, marijuana is legal in the state of Colorado. And it has been for quite a good amount of time now. Did I move here for that? No. But it's not a bad perk to have. Just saying. If you do, cool. If you don't, hey, that's all right too. If you indulge every once in a while, do you too. But we do have advertisements, you know, that do talk about, especially from the NHTSA, NHTSA. You know, don't drive behind the wheel if you're high. You know what I'm saying? You see it all the time. And it's not because it's Tuesday. They want to make sure you're safe behind the wheel. You know what I'm saying? So we encourage that, but DUIs are no joke, but DUI causing death is definitely not a joke. At all. One bit. Nuh-uh. Okay? That, you know, being behind the wheel, at least even a little bit tipsy, can possibly cause damage to someone else. Mind you, driver's ed. Yeah, I put on the beer goggles. Not good time, I promise you. If you've put them on, you know. But I pretty much walked into a locker a couple times, and it was just a bad move. And then it happened in real life. When you're in your 20s and you live in Myrtle Beach, you turn. But having experienced that, you know, and then for it to cause death to someone is just very irresponsible decision-making on Tammy Sitch's part. I can't explain it any easier than that. Like I said, yeah, she's a Hall of Famer and all that stuff. And I've seen people talking about her online and all these things, you know, from what she used to look like in 95 to what she looks like now. I get it. But I focus on the case at hand. She caused the death of another human being, an innocent citizen of the, maybe they were out of town or anything like that. But there was no way in hell was Florida even going to think about not giving her a maximum sentence. You know what I'm saying? It's a tough situation. And going back to Cash Wheeler for a moment. You know, when you're, and it's not just professional wrestling, of course. Even like I said in the prior segment, you know, there's, you know, sports, you know, like, you know, if somebody may not know who Plaxico Burress is, but man's went into the club wearing sweatpants, but having that thing on him. And then shot him fuck himself. I think it was a discharge or something of that nature, but, you know, whatever. It was just stupid. And then, of course, Ray Rice, Alvin Kamara, recently. Cases like that. There has to be punishment for what has happened. For Ray Rice, it was a lot more than what he bargained for. Plaxico Burress, couple things. I think you had. I don't remember if you had to serve time or not. But I remember that story being huge and them talking hella shit about Plaxico Burress wearing sweatpants in the club. Not because he had the thing on him, but the fact that he was wearing sweatpants in the club. I know, Milo. I know. It was crazy. Sweatpants in the club, Dad? That's just odd. Comfortable, but odd. Agreed. But even for Cash, you know, a road rage type incident, and then you have that thing on you, and then you try to, you know, I guess intimidate and tell, you know, thing, yeah, don't play with me. Not a good look either, especially given the fact that we are like, what, not a quarter, like 9 days away? 8, actually. And being able to do that crazily, you know, I know Cash knows it's not a good look for him, especially going into a very high profile match in 8 days' time. You know, I'm sure he's going to feel some type of way. I'm sure he's going to be thankful that he can actually go to London and compete. But I'm sure for a fact there's going to be some punishment coming his way when the case actually goes down. It's crazy. Okay, seeing cases like this. Even with the whole Vince McMahon shit too. Like, oh, why are you bringing Vince McMahon up? Because it's a case. And his whole, and the whole sexual assault deal. Even then, I was just like, if it has to mean he's going to have to take some punishment for this, he's going to have to deal with some punishment for this. And you know, it bees what it bees. It is what it is. At the end of the day, though, when you do bullshit like this, there should be very harsh punishment for what you've done. Now, for Cash, in his Cash Wheeler's case, it's his first legitimate charge on record, ever. So I don't think they'll be as harsh on Dax, but they're going to definitely make sure to give him some a good punishment for what he did. I mean, me personally, you know, we have the Second Amendment for a reason, you know, but to be used responsibly. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, you know, had the thing on you and be like motherfucking, who the fuck was the dude? Ja Morant, dumbass. Being on social media with the thing on you, popping up in the club with it. I'm not saying you're not about that life, Ja. But posting bullshit like that on social media is the reason you got 25 game suspension. What, it was 21, 25 or 41? I personally would have done 40. That's just me, though. Because it didn't happen just not once, but twice. Twice on social media. Gilbert Arenas, I'm looking at you too. Look it up. Look it up if you really want to know what happened with Gilbert Arenas. That shit was crazy. That was wild. But at the end of the day, harsh punishment must come, especially in the case of Sitch. We knew when we spoke about it that we needed to see punishment, and I pushed for it. I wanted punishment. I wanted punishment for this and for what she was and for what she did with the shit in Jersey too. The shit in PA, it's going to get to catch up to you one day. For Sitch, that day has come. She is getting her punishment. 25 years in the bing. It bees what it bees. It is what it is. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude episode 375 of the YLP podcast. Now, when we come back, as we always do, we're going to close out the show in proper YLP fashion and get you ready for episode 376 of the YLP podcast. We'll be right back. Well, guys, that's going to be it for episode 375 of the YLP podcast. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast. And as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 374 episodes of the YLP Podcast, do not hesitate once again to hit your boy up with a voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/Young Lions Perspective and over at podcasters.spotify.com/WrestleAddictRadio. Leave comments over on AmbiguousPodcastSolutions.com. Rating 5-star ratings on Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, you know, CastBox FM, one of the OGs that began distributing me back in the day, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. I do have social media still, and my apologies for not posting 373 on my Instagram, but if you want to follow me over there, you can find me at Young_Lions_Perspective, as well as over on Twitter at YLPerspective. I post the episodes up there, share them, usually on either the day of episode or on Sunday, because that's one of my updates from work, so I usually do it then, but, you know, follow me over there. Just stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP Podcast. Now, next week, what is on the docket? Of course, the news of the week, as always. But we have, of course, a little special thing we get to do. I believe for the last episode of the month of August, September is coming. And we're going to close out the month in proper YLP fashion by giving you, of course, the AEW All In preview and predictions. Now, again, this is a very special occasion, so this is going to be a very special segment of the show. We're going to be talking about All In. We're going to talk about everything that's come to it. We're going to talk about the original All In, because I feel that it's just apropos as well. And we're going to be doing our preview and predictions for AEW All In next Sunday. And we got a good record going, guys. We got a solid record, 67-14-1 on the year. And if you're wondering what the one is, it's the double count out between Gable Steveson and Baron Corbin. If I ever did a top 10 rate of worst matches of the year, this would definitely be top 5. Just throwing it out there. But that's what's going to be going down next Saturday. Preview predictions for AEW All In at Wembley Stadium. I'm hyped about that. I hope you guys are hyped about AEW All In as much as I am. I've been wanting to see All In again for some time. And I've been wanting to see them go over to the UK for some time as well. So for this to happen for all of us as fans, I mean, I am just quite excited for every last bit of it. It's just going to be a great time. We're going to have a good time. We're going to try to go undefeated as we always do. And we'll see what happens going into next week. But we'll talk more about All In and all that good stuff next week. But guys, enjoy the remainder of your weekend. Have a fantastic week. May it be prosperous, fruitful. You get your goals that you hit for the week. Do everything that you want to do this week. Get the weekend to prepare. And we attack on Monday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, guys. And I'll see you guys right back here next Saturday for episode 376 of the YLP Podcast. See you.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.